appreciate this church. As the pastor has said, it was quite a thing for me to come here. I was serving in St. Pete with Pastor Stansel. I went down to help him a little bit. After being in Texas with him, I enjoyed the service there and was able to work with him. And things worked out differently for us to come to Chattanooga, or go to Chattanooga, I should say, and I enjoy it. I was saved young. I was saved before I went to service. But I didn't live for the Lord through my teenage years, and got out of school and met a young lady. I asked her if I could take her out. She said, "Sure, are you saved?" That got right down there where I lived, you know. And so I said, "Well, yes, I'm saved. I knew I was saved. I just wasn't living right, wasn't doing what I should, wasn't going to church." But our first date was on a Saturday. I said, "Well, what do you want to do?" She said, "Why don't you come over to my house on Saturday early?" I said, "Wow." I was thinking, I could spend the whole day with her. And so I went over at 8 o'clock, and there was this big white bus parked in her front yard. I couldn't figure that out. So I went ahead and knocked on the door, and she said, "Just a minute, we'll be right out." And her dad came out, she came out, and we got on the bus. We picked up her dad's bus route that he usually ran on Sunday morning, and took all the kids to an amusement park and stayed there all day. I saw her from a distance most of the time. Both of us had kids with us and everything. It was good. But I'm thankful for my wife. She has been a mainstay for me. Most people know me as Nancy's husband. So that'll tell you a little bit about her. We're glad to be here. It's always a privilege to speak in a place like this that loves the Lord and loves the things of God, loves to see churches started. But the bigger privilege is just to speak out of God's word. I am amazed that God would even begin to use me, and I'm thankful for that opportunity. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your love and your kindness. I thank you for this time that you've given us here, this conference. I pray that you'd bless, Father. The messages I've been able to hear so far have blessed my soul, and I pray that this morning you'd use the things that I've got to say here in this place to touch the hearts of your people. And Father, if there be one here that know not Christ, that they might come to know Christ as their Savior. Lord, I'd ask also that you'd help me to say those things that'll be helpful. Help me to say those things that'd be right and true. Now guide and direct, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Open your Bibles, if you will, to chapter number 9, the book of John. Not Psalms, John's. This chapter is about the healing of the blind man. So many times we look at the Word of God and don't correlate things. This is the sixth of the eight miracles reported in John. Now, this miracle of healing is not seen anyplace else except in John. So we find here, this is the fourth such healing of a blind man in the Scriptures, and John records it only, no one else. I got to reading as I read and began to try to memorize and look at the Scripture and get into it. I found many times things that I've never seen before just came to life. I began reading in verse number 1, and Jesus, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifested in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came again seeing. What a marvelous thing. And I began to look at this, and I noticed the man sat there with no idea of what was going on. He had been blind from birth. He did not know exactly what was happening as far as people coming by. He knew there was a crowd, but who, he didn't know. This is not like Mark chapter number 10. Blind Bartimaeus was sitting by the roadside, and Jesus was coming by, and blind Bartimaeus began to cry out, and he began to request, and they told him, be quiet, and Jesus said, bring him. This man knew nothing of that. It's kind of like a picture of you and I and our sin, isn't it? We're born in sin. We didn't know anything about it until someone came to us one day and said, listen, you need to know Christ as your Savior. Here we find this man sitting beside the side of the road, and in his encounter with Christ, if you go down to verse number 34 in this chapter, it says, they answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou preach to us? Now, this is the Pharisees. They said, hey, who are you to preach and tell us anything? But look at verse number 37 and 38. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. He got his eyesight, but we find in verse number 38, he believed in Jesus. You see, this blind man, set by the road, not being able to see, needed the grace of God, just like you and I did before we got saved. This blind man didn't know. Blind Bartimaeus knew. How did he know? How did Bartimaeus know? He probably heard about Zacchaeus that came down out of his tree. He probably heard about Matthew that left the changing table and followed Jesus. He may have heard about the fishermen that left their nets. But this man didn't know. Now, if you outline this chapter, the report of the miracles, the first seven verses that I've just read you. And this report is where I want to deal this morning. Of course, there's so much more. They took him to his neighbors. They took him to the Pharisees. They asked him finally, and he talked to him there in verse number 35, 36. But as we look at this, I want to look at the disability in verse number 1. He was blind from birth. It's serious. He couldn't achieve what he would in life, as we who are sinners cannot achieve anything for God in life without knowing Christ as our Savior. Now, we could be used of God, but friend, we need to know Christ to be used effectively of God, to be able to do something. A good picture of disability, this blind disability, is sin in our life. It stops us right where we're at. The duration of the blindness was from birth. There was no accident or injury. This is the description of us, as we are sinners from birth. No accident. It came with our birth. I looked at the destitution of this man. Verse number 8 of this says that he sat begging. He sat begging. Here's a man that the only thing he could do was take what the world would give him and not be able to do anything else. I looked about this, the object of the discussion of the disciples there in verse number 2. It was the perplexity that they had. Who did sin, this man or his parents? They wanted to know who in the world caused this problem in this man's life. Notice the answer. Jesus answered and said, neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him. You know, when we stop and we look about this, this happens in our life many times. We see those that have a physical impairment, possibly, that God works in their life and is to his honor and glory. I went back and I looked and I found that God worked in Lazarus's life. They told him, Lazarus is sick and he's nigh unto death, and Jesus waited, the scripture says, but he went. Just verse number 11, I mean chapter number 11, and verse number, let's see, what verse is that? He says, verse number 4, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. You see, so many times our testimony, we think it falls by the wayside, But blind Bartimaeus heard the testimony of somebody that had seen Jesus. Somebody told him what Jesus had done. Here we find in chapter 11, verse number 4 of John, that Jesus said, "This is for my sake being manifested here." You see, friend, your testimony is important. What you say to people means more many times than you realize. We say things and think, well, you know, it just falls on deaf ears. We were visiting Saturday. One young lady and my wife went out, and another gentleman and myself went out. We knocked on doors. They visited in homes, and my wife came back and said that her visiting partner said to her, said, "I feel like we're not doing very much." You know, sometimes we feel like, well, I'm not accomplishing a whole lot, but your testimony touches lives that you wouldn't realize. I work a part-time job, of course, because of the financial situation and the church not being able to support me fully. And I became friends with a lady that shops there every Wednesday. And this last week, or week before, she said, "I need to send you an email." I gave her my email address. She sent me a page of prayer requests. She has no pastor to pray for her, no pastor to give her scripture, no pastor to pray with her. Friend, our testimony before the world is important. Here we find a man that had no way of knowing except the grace of God. Jesus saw him sitting there blind. Now notice some things, if you will. Jesus said, "I must work the works of him that sent me," in verse number 4. Jesus said, "I must." When Jesus said, "I must," he was saying right then, he said, God has given me this to do. This is God's will for me. We know that Christ never sinned one time. And that includes when he was growing up. He never had a bad attitude. He never went in to clean his room and just shoved everything under the bed. He never talked back. He never said anything at all that would be wrong. He never was out of the will of God. I know that my Father is with me because I do always those things that please him. Here, he said, "This is what God gave me to do. This is the job that God has given me in this hour. I must work the works of him that sent me." He said, "I must work while it is day." While it is day. There's going to come a time we can't work, maybe. I do a lot of preaching in nursing homes, or have in the past preached in many, many nursing homes. And one of the biggest cries I hear of those that are saved in the homes, they would tell me, "But I can't do anything anymore." One lady she was so sweet. She came to me after the service one day, and she had tears in her eyes. She says, I cannot stand this. I can't do anything for anyone. I'm locked up, so to speak, here." I said, "God's got a reason for you." I said, "He hadn't taken you home yet. God's got a reason for you." And the next week when I came back, she came so happy. She said, "I found my reason." She said, "I push those in rolling chairs around. They don't have to try and get themselves around. I push them." She says, "I help the crew clean up the dining room after the meal." She says, "I sat and read to three people their Bible this week." She said, "I found a place to serve." Listen, friend, Jesus said, "I must work the works of him that sent me." He says, there's going to come a time that I can't work. You see, there was a perplexity in the report. Who did sin? Nobody sinned. It was for God's honor and glory, for Jesus to work in this time. So as we stopped and we look at this, we find that Jesus is doing the job that he was called to do. Verse number 5 says, "As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. No man puts a light under a bushel, but he sets it on a lampstand." Friend, we are the light of the world, those that know Christ as their Savior. We're the people that are here to do the work of God, because the time may run out for us. We may not be able to work anymore. We're here to help people. Now we turned the lights on in the auditorium this morning. The generation plants are working. The windmills are generating. Everything's happening for our benefit here to have lights. Friend, we're the light of the world for the benefit of mankind. We're the light of the world to tell others about Christ. They may not know, they said, in darkness, not realizing that they're lost and undone and on their way to a Christless eternity. There was power in this report. He says, I am the light of the world. We have the power of God behind us, as has been sung. We're never alone. God's with us through all of it. The preparation for this report in verse number 6 there, three things that Jesus did in preparation. First off, he spat on the ground. Three times Christ used his spit in the scriptures. In those times, spittle was supposed to carry a healing attribute with it. He made the clay and he anointed the man's eyes. The anointing means to smear. He smeared mud on his eyes. We think sometimes, oh, it seems so senseless, but isn't the preaching of the cross to them that perish foolishness? Listen, friend, what God does is not foolishness. What God leads us to do is not foolishness, but necessary. We need to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. He smeared the mud on the man's eyes, and notice what he did next. He gave him a command. He said, I want you to go and wash in the pool. I want you to go and wash. Now, the man did it without question. He obeyed. Sometimes we are told by Satan the obedience of us to God's command is not really necessary. God's a forgiving God. You see, Satan knows that. But friend, it is necessary for God to be able to bless us like he wants to. For God to be able to use us. He said, go and wash. You say, oh, why couldn't he just go across the street maybe and get some water there? For the same reason that the man dipped in the muddy Jordan 7 times to get rid of the leprosy. The same reason that you're told to do what you're told to do in God's economy to accomplish his purpose. The specifics of the report. He said, go. It requires energy. Work for spiritual things. My wife was discipling a young lady in St. Petersburg. And one of the things they did in this discipling was to copy the scripture into a notebook, handwrite it. And I told one of the gentlemen in my Sunday school class that's what they were doing. And he asked me, he said, why do they do that? That seems like a waste of time. Friend, nothing's a waste of time when we work at becoming more spiritual and learning the things of God. Amen. So many times we think reading our Bible is not necessary. Friend, reading our Bible is the most necessary. Amen. Copying the Word of God into a notebook will indelibly write it on your mind and your heart. God can bring it back anytime he wants. It required energy. He went. He did what he said. He washed. He was obedient to the word of God. And he came back seeing. Listen, friend, when we follow the leadings of God, the blessings of God's going to fall. When we follow the leadings of God, the Lord's going to be glorified. When we follow the leadings of God, God's going to give us what we need in that hour to do the job. It requires energy. He's going to supply all my needs. Now the specifics, the man obeyed Jesus. He was prompt in his submission in doing. The product of the submission, he washed and came seeing. He gained his sight. Now some folks may not be happy, and as we go on down through, notice first, they brought him to the Pharisees. Excuse me, they brought him to his neighbors, verse number 8. And they said, is this the same guy that was blind from birth? The neighbors brought him to the Pharisees in verse number 15. They brought him to the Pharisees, and that aforetime was blind. And it was on the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened the eyes. And again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. Once again, as we've heard in previous chapters, the Pharisees looking for a foothold, looking for a place to accuse Christ. They brought him to his parents, and the parents wouldn't say anything. Notice verse number 22. The word spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews agreed already that if any man did confess that he was the Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, or because of this, verse number 23, said his parents, he is of age, ask him. They ask him. Verse number 30. He answered and said unto them, this is his speech, his answer. And they put him out of the synagogue. Verse number 34, and they cast him out. Jesus heard about that, and he went to him. And we find in verse number 38, Lord, I believe. You see, friend, obeying the commandment of God in the right time may cost us some standing in society. May cost us some standing with friends and neighbors, but friend, the blessings of God in obedience is much more precious than any standing we can have in this world. I stopped and I looked at this and I marveled at it. I must tell you, I've never been asked to preach on a specific section of Scripture, but I was blessed by studying this and learning that God has a reason in everything that happens in my life and your life as to his honor and glory. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the Scripture. And Lord, I pray that something's been said or done to cause somebody to enjoy, to be hungry for the things of God. I pray, Father, that you bless as this conference continues. May these words be used of you to bring you honor and glory. In Christ's name, amen.